Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. It is the internet's only college football podcast. You're listening to dulcet tones of Spencer Hall. One of the masterminds behind, I think, the only college football award that I know of, the Bradley Van Pelt Award, a.k.a. the BVP.
And the original Casio dog.
You, that is
not,
correct.
Not Bradley Van Pelt, to be clear.
We don't know that.
I don't know that.
That's fair.
I like to think of the dog noise on every standard Casio keyboard as being the people's voice. When they sing with the cheesy cartoon computer voice of what appears to be a bloodhound.
It's Jerry Glanville.
It's definitely not Kirby Smart because, you know, uses more than three notes.
Oh.
Also, the BVP is definitely the only college football award because the Peisman Trophy is more a performance art kind of thing.
That's right.
I like to think of the Peisman Trophy as an unofficial Nobel.
It's a technical Oscar.
It's given, and just like the technical Oscars, we haven't seen it given out in a while, right. But we'll work on that, y'all.
A James Beard food award, right?
Yeah, that's what it is.
I won it. When? Happened the other night.
Don't worry about it.
It's cool.
Thank you to Michael for submitting that Casio dog. Shutdown full. Yep. There. I say it. He has to do that Casio dog.
It is my favorite thing to do because it's one of the few things I know I'm unquestionably good at.
I have no argument with that. You are so good at Casio dog that it is one of the few impressions on this show that only one of us has ever tried to do. Like, I've never tried it. Jason and Holly have never tried it. You own Casio dog.
It's my corner, and stay off it unless you want to get cut, because I can't imagine. I can't imagine anything more humiliating than being beaten up or stabbed by somebody while they Casio dog at you.
I think even more humiliating is losing an orchestrated Casio dog battle on stage as the crowd is,
right.
Oh, damn. He got you.
Eat shit, Eminem.
Just hearing like Party Up in my head.
No, roar, that's a written. Roar. That's a written.
Yesterday. We're here to hand out the BVP award, which, because it is like our podcast, the people's choice, we asked you, the people, if you are
more than two is people.
More than two is definitely people.
That's in the Bible.
It is in the Bible. It's proper grammar. The BVP award, remember, it is the award given to the player who, I think the best definition of that element we're looking for is the most college football player, good player, sometimes even great players who may or may not go on to be successful in the NFL, but definitely hit some kind of personal zenith and I think and really sort of hit like peak identity at the college level. They might end up being NFL MVPs. That may happen. They may have very long careers. They will never quite be themselves as much as they were playing college football.
So with that, what we did here was we opened this up for public balloting. Let's put it that way.
For the people.
For the people's award, paid in. We made a Google spreadsheet, as all democracy is the official mode of democracy.
Well, we did that because it's unhackable.
Right. Our information is secure online, particularly with Google. And some of y'all have read Spencer's article on
how the BVP award works, and some of you haven't. The ones of you who haven't, you suggested names like Joe Burrow. We love Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow is aiming a bit higher than the BVP award when it comes to hardware. What he doesn't realize is that the good stuff is lower.
Also, the only like BVP thing Joe Burrow really did this year, I would argue, would be when he came out for LSU's last regular season game with the alternate jersey.
Yeah. So to be clear, if you're stacking up the last 10 or 20 Heisman winners and saying who's the most BVP, Joe Burrow's pretty high on that list, right? But we primarily admire him for his, you know, number one NFL draft type talent.
Mark Ingram, BVP. No, definitely.
Also not a Heisman.
Hurtful.
We all know it. We all know it. So what I did was I went through and struck a few names. Chase Young, we love him. Not a BVP. He's already an NFL player.
Yeah, not yeah, no.
Stuck playing college football.
You don't get to be a cyborg and make the BVP award. Although maybe, can I correct that? You could be a cyborg, but you'd have to have like some weird defective Russian part.
Right. Well, if you were a cyborg who after every sack, after every like third down sack, you ran over and snatched a saxophone from the band and started playing it, like that, I think would be like, okay, now we can talk about that.
Okay.
Your saxophone cyborg.
Yeah. So I have two points of view here. One, if you are a cyborg who is openly a cyborg, that is pretty fucking interesting, and you're up for this award. If you say, no, look at my robot parts, I'm literally us. However, now we are getting into debates about consciousness and identity because...
And the soul.
The People's Award, can it honor someone who is only half a people?
Wow.
Hmm? See, this is a bit too big of a debate.
Is that a cyborg or an android? I can never remember which is which.
Yeah, you're right. Shit. See? We are not prepared for this debate.
I think the difference is that cyborg is more macho and gunnier. Android usually associated with robots in the future used for sex.
Okay, or Data on Star Trek.
Robots in the future used for sex.
If you are an android, you have spent the past year at Liberty University.
Mm-hmm.
Frozen,
having
one
sex
might
with
say.
Hugh Freeze. So. I struck a few names. Derek Brown, awesome player, not going to make the cut here. I struck several names from the public balloting, and I'm going to run backward through the top 10. This first one, it's a little bit of a curveball because it's Joe Burrow's butt. Enough people nominated Joe Burrow's butt for the BVP award that it makes the top 10. We have seen his nude ass because an opposing player, I believe Mississippi State, while attempting to tackle the greatest college football player alive, accidentally yanked down his pants to about three-quarters mast. Joe Burrow's butt, congratulations on your nomination.
Yay!
I like to imagine like we're panning over a theater and there Joe Burrow's butt is in the crowd just like looking happy to be there.
I love it. Yeah.
Sitting next to Marley Matlin.
Yeah, I love it because Joe Burrow would have to be there, but we'd have to like put a hood over his head or something.
Right.
He'd face backwards, or we'd put him on a massage table.
You know, like old timey photographers, how they'd step under the curtain. It's like that, but they're turned around.
We don't mean to objectify you, Joe. It's just we're just following what the spreadsheet said.
You know how you only put on film what you need to put on film? That's what we're doing here. It's a cut-up of you, right? Like, I don't know, I got 3 hours of game footage here. Can I just get the snaps with your ass?
You're only playing Georgia. Just put your butt on film. It'll be fine.
I'm excited because there is some NFL... There will be some NFL draft room that, like, Zapruder films that. Is like, but is this the ass of a starter? Is this the ass of a Super Bowl winner?
I think so. We've all seen it.
Fair.
We can all have opinions.
Sorry, please continue with the august list of top 10.
Number 9, Malcolm Perry, Navy quarterback. I went through his bona fides on our previous episode here, but I mean, I think a service academy quarterback is literally the most college football player possible, particularly one who runs an offense that the NFL hasn't used but is rapidly coming around to. Ken Niumatalolo should be an NFL head coach any minute now. I think we all recognize it.
Who's in the division with the Ravens and who's dumb?
The Bengals just got a new coach. So
The Browns have a new-ish coach.
Ah, but he sucks. Everybody hates Freddie Kitchens, so put him on the Browns.
Yeah, or this. Freddie Kitchens is forced by his ownership to switch to the triple option next year. Yeah, there we go.
I mean, he's from Alabama, so you tell him he gets to run the ball more.
You're trying to tell, like, maybe this is actually what unlocks the potential of a fully functional battle station Freddie Kitchens, right? Like, hey, you got to run the bone. All of a sudden his eyes start glowing.
Yeah. Just
whatever it keeps to keep Freddie Kitchens showing up for game day dressed like an extra in Snatch is really all I care about.
Freddie, run Bear Bryant's 1978 offense. Fine.
So powerful.
Next up, Kenny Gainwell, Memphis all-purpose weapon of the future. One in an exciting lineage of these players. I was happy to see him get some votes. Next, LaVisca Chenault. I've never been clear on how to say his last name. Chenault. Okay, thank you. Colorado wide receiver. Possibly going to win some actual hardware this year, but that probably goes to like Bama or LSU receiver 1 through 8. So I think he deserves some shine here. Next up, Spencer, your guy, Bryce Perkins.
Woohoo! My boy. I'm very, very fond of Bryce Perkins just because Bryce Perkins usually, like, I think he plays in the role of anywhere from 3 to 4 different quarterbacks per game. He'll hit like 5 or 6 passes in a row and you go, man, what a passer. And then he'll miss 3 or 4 in a row and you go, ah, man, he's having a stroke. And then he'll rip off a 67-yard run out of nowhere and you go, ah, do it again. And then he flies into the line and fumbles. Like, that variance, the really high highs and the very low lows combined with the ability to be a 100% like game-breaking trend smasher, the dude who overturns the 15-year losing streak to Virginia Tech, the sentimental favorite. Did Bronco Mendenhall cry when hugging this player? Yes, automatic BVP candidate right there.
My favorite thing is that Bryce Perkins, I'm going to try to get this right. Bryce Perkins is brothers with Paul Perkins, who used to play at UCLA and is, I think, a Jaguar now, if memory serves. That sounds right. Let's just go with that.
Yes.
Their father is named Bruce Perkins, but Bruce is his nickname. His real name is Paul. So Paul, quote, Bruce Perkins had 2 sons. One of them was Paul II. And the other one was Bryce, because you can't also name him Bruce.
Wait, was Paul... So, Paul Bruce had a Paul and a Bryce.
Yes.
Was Paul 2 P-A-Y-L?
No. Regrettably. Hmm. He's just Paul, the way you spell Paul.
Okay.
And of course, Bruce Perkins, former Arizona State Sun Devil, as was Bryce until the horrific neck injury.
Yeah, had to spend somewhere between, I think, 4 and 6 months in a neck brace, not moving much. Like, he actually had to, like, he couldn't sleep on his side. He had to, like, just lay there on his back, which this, I think, says something about me that when they go, man, what's the hardest part of this? Like, what's the hardest part of this to you when you're looking at it? I'm like, I don't know. It's a lot of pain, a lot of rehab and stuff. But, man, he's got to sleep on his back. That sucks.
Next up at number 5, a player I think everyone fell in love with during the LSU-Bama game, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, this year's bowling ball of the year.
Yeah, about 5'9", which means he's really about 5'7", if that. Clyde Edwards-Helaire might be too good to win this. And I say that because he is a running back who has, I believe, as many or more yards than Lynn Bowden, another candidate for this. He's got 2 fewer yards on the season rushing on way fewer attempts, I believe. In addition to that, he's the 11th most catches in the SEC in terms of just raw number of receptions. So he's basically a slot wide receiver too. He's a monster in pass pro. He had 10 first downs in the Alabama game. He only needed 6 carries to get to 100 yards versus Arkansas, and I believe had to get a 70-yarder in order to get that, and then benched himself, essentially.
His Arkansas stat line is very funny. It's 188 rushing yards, 3 rushing touchdowns on 6 attempts.
That'll do it. Clocking out.
Yeah, wasn't he sitting at like 99 or something? They're like, yeah, just go get one. He's like, 88!
Don't worry. He also had 7 catches for 65 yards. Everybody, come on.
And honestly, like, I know that scouts, you know, when you go, oh, man, you know, but how is he in pass protection? LSU hasn't had to use pass pro past a 5-man set this year very much, not even against Auburn or Florida, teams that really did get after and blitz Burrow. But when it happens, Edwards-Helaire sends people flying. He's one of those awful blockers that, because he is about 3 feet off the ground, when he gets low, he hits you at about thigh level and has a tendency to send people cartwheeling through the air when he does it. He's definitely like too good to do this. He is kind of short, but I don't know. Is this just my way of saying that I'd take a bullet for Clyde Edwards-Helaire? Yeah, absolutely.
Next up at number 4, kind of a career, a lifetime achievement award vote, Sprayberry High School's own Rodrigo Blankenship.
Unfair advantage here.
What?
we got an influential Cobb County resident on on our decision making committee.
I'm just tallying the votes. I have an even more Cobb County nomination, in fact, that I haven't inserted.
I appreciate you doubling down on this bias instantly and going, well, you know what? I am biased, but I'm biased in 2 different directions.
Cobb increases.
Not only are we nominating Kennesaw, Georgia native Justin Fields, I'm adding Kennesaw State University's Bronson Rechsteiner as well.
Wow.
So now we're tripling it.
That's so much Panera energy. That's so such strong Panera vibes.
Get this bread bowl, bitch.
Number 3, probably my personal number 1. Elijah Moore of Ole Miss. Mr. Pretending to pee on the field himself.
We're completely ignoring that Elijah Moore saves their ass this game, right?
Did he?
For a minute.
Okay.
And then he didn't.
Okay.
Like people who are in the outrage business have gotten very upset with him over a unsportsmanlike penalty, which I don't even think should technically be an unsportsmanlike penalty. However, they wouldn't have been in that position anyway if he hadn't scored a touchdown. So take that. There, he giveth and he taketh away, like the Lord.
Elijah Moore, I think the most important thing about him doing the dog pee celebration is that because of that, nobody is talking about the amazing thing he did earlier in the game where he fielded a punt and after catching it, tried to signal fair catch. Yes. It was like the self-preservation to say, hey, this will be what people remember, not that. That's good internet awareness by Elijah Moore.
That is savvy.
It is. It's also innovative, because what if it had worked? What if the ref had stepped in and gone, you know what? No.
That's right. That's a late hit.
Or if the ref had stepped in and gone, this is reasonable. these are very strong, fast men. They're going to hit you. I applaud your decision to end the play and cease all future potential harm on this series. Well done. Mm-hmm.
So why can't you just say, hey, I'm waving, play's over,
I'm done now?
Like, you can take a knee, but that's not good for your knees.
Right.
You got to think about your joints 60 years from now.
I mean, I think all plays should be able to stop if you just wave your hand in the air.
I really like the idea of doing that, but having the hesitation for a second of whether you're going to do it, because the defender has this one moment where they're like, I hate you so much right now.
Isn't it really fucking insane that we have a sport where we tell a guy, hey, go stand here and look at the sky. 11 people are going to sprint at you. If you don't want to run back at them, wave your hand. How are you supposed to know? I realize there are plans for this. Your teammates yell at you whether you should return it or not. But what if your teammates hate you?
But also, if you wave your hand and you don't catch the ball, they get to hit you anyway.
Yep.
Sorry.
If you do nothing, you will be destroyed. What a stupid sport.
Would you like to return kicks and punts now? No? Where are you going? Where are you going?
I think there should be guys who are in cowards jerseys who just say,
like the no contact jersey. Yeah.
Yeah. Just like, if I get loose on you and I catch the ball, plays dead, man. Plays dead.
This is why Georgia put its third string quarterback back there and told him never return anything. Georgia, what was this, like 2012 or something like
that?
Yeah. Logan Gray, baby. Logan Gray.
All-time fair catcher.
A punter slash all-time fair catcher. It is, by the way, one of the most Georgia football things ever to just be like, yeah, screw it. Screw it. I give up. Why don't you just go back there and just catch it? Just catch it and don't move. Don't move, okay? I'm going to go to Sonic and I'm going to get the diet cherry limeade because my sugar ain't right, okay? I'm going to go home. I'm going to watch this game tape, okay? I'm going to listen to my kids fart in the next room, all right? And then I'm going to go to bed thinking about all the things I'll never, ever be able to do in a house that's too hot and needs a new roof, okay? When I wake up the next day, you know what we're going to do? We're going to fair catch it again, because screw it.
Who is this, Gary? Is this the special teams coach? Is this Kirby Smart? Is this a random Georgia fan?
It's not your business who I am, okay? All I need you to do is to go out there, wave your hand over your head,
this
and give up.
From New York City asking me who I am? Buddy, who are you? What I want to know is... I got an athlete in space, right? I got a punt returner out there in space. Space isn't real. The only thing above the sky is Jesus.
That's right. Now I got to go to Dahlonega and pick up a part for my Dodge Ram, okay? Because I got talked out of the F-150 because, I don't know, Ford's rust or something. Even though this thing's the most disappointing vehicle that I've owned. Well, at least since Jasper Sanks.
This is such a deeply personal character. There's just so much in it.
Hate you, Jasper Sanks. Just fair catch it!
Jason, who is next on the list, please?
So we've been discussing the idea of a football player who tries nothing. This all-time fair catch guy. Let's instead pivot to a guy who tries everything. Number two, Cole McDonald, Hawaii Rainbow Warriors quarterback. The most 500 quarterback of all time. You ever play the? You've played the game 500, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. When Cole's throwing, every ball is worth 500 points.
To someone.
Three things can happen when you pass the ball, and Cole McDonald would like to achieve all of them simultaneously.
Yeah, man. Is he going to kind of sprint around unnecessarily? Yeah, that's going to happen. All right. Is he going to throw some picks? Boy, howdy. Yeah. Did he open the season by throwing four interceptions? Yeah. Did he open the season by throwing four touchdowns? Also, yes. Has he been benched for his inconsistent play? Yeah, that's happened as well. Has he been a running quarterback for no reason whatsoever? Yeah, against University of New Mexico, our boy busted out 9 carries for 140 yards. You know how many ran for the next game? 17! Yeah, Cole McDonald is it's a trip. It's an experience. Thus far, I would say somebody might go, oh, you know, he lost his starting job. Shouldn't that take him out of contention?
Hell no.
For BVP status. Incorrect. Absolutely not. Did he get his status back as starter?
Sort of. Enough.
Sort of? Off and on? Maybe?
To me, the BVP signifies interestingness and memorability. Losing your starting job is interesting. Getting it back is interesting. Losing it again is interesting.
Very. It's fascinating. It's 500 points. It's going somewhere. The bench or the field? Also, what is Hawaii's record this year? I believe they're 8-4. When was the last time or 9-4 at this point? When was the last time they went 9-4? Oh, it's been a minute, y'all. So it's not like Cole McDonald's not a really good football player. It's not like he is not demonstrably a winner that his teammates are either in awe of or fear. Or sometimes both. I think his resume has only gotten stronger.
And number one on the public balloting, Spencer has mentioned him so far, Lynn Bowden, Kentucky football player.
That's a good way to put it.
That's his position, I think.
They'd have him kicking if they could, right? Like he's at that
point. But who would hold?
Yeah. Lynn Bowden. He would do the, like, he would do the spin, right? Mm-hmm. Like,
and then get up and get up and kick.
Lynn Bowden, do everything. Here's the best part. He's listed as a wide receiver on ESPN.com.
Yeah.
That's correct. Despite playing quarterback all year and having like tons of rushing yards. I don't know what you, I mean, technically he's a quarterback. That's what he's doing.
He is still today Kentucky's leading receiver on the season. He has
how many yards?
He has 30 catches for 348 yards.
I love that. That's a leading receiver.
And he is the leading receiver. And it's important because he continues to, even though he's made this transition, he caught, is this right? Oh, no, this is just total number of catches. Excuse me, never mind. I was about to say something extremely wrong.
That's the plausibility of us giving him an award for being a one-man band. There's great precedent for this, by the way, right? Players who had to do everything, the Antoine Randle L's of the world, who alternately from one year to another, the coach just said, listen, we got nothing. You need to go out there and play DB. Okay, we really don't have anything. Can you do that and return punts? Hey, I need my laundry done by Thursday, but there's a really stubborn stain like that. This guy has always existed in college football. I think Joel Lanning at Iowa State was another example of this, a guy who was a quarterback and then became a linebacker and then sometimes also played fullback. Yeah.
UNC have a, UNC had a quarterback who converted to linebacker this year.
And is pretty good at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Athletes will athlete.
So those were the 10 most submitted by the 10, I would say, are qualifying most submitted by podcast readers. I have added Kennesaw State's fullback, who is almost certainly a future pro wrestler. Ryan, did you have anyone else to nominate?
No, I'm happy with this list.
Spencer, are you prepared to reveal the 2019 BVP award winner?
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and do a couple of secondary nominations before we get to the
Look at him. Look at him.
Just
after this commercial break.
Xavien Valade at Wyoming, 1,000-yard rusher for them. Also one of the few players to have a name that starts with X, right? There's a couple of Xaviers, but not many Xavians. He's and had a 1,000-yard season. He's been really, really good for the Cowboys. I would also nominate piano playing John Legend singing an extremely Ole Miss, like Moss Ole Miss of Moss Ole Miss players, John Rhys Plumlee of Ole Miss, who, as far as I can tell, is just kind of a future attorney with a really good 40 time, just running around and having fun back there. But
he's majoring in engineering.
Yeah. So, okay, there we go. He's going to be in just a piano playing engineer who's got to have some stuff on his phone that's really going to shock his coworkers. Like, you? That was you? Yeah, man. That's me. Out there forcing Joe Burrow to just keep racking up TDs. Like, Joe Burrow threw 5 TDs against Ole Miss because John Rhys Plumlee and the rest of the sort of bullshit Ole Miss offense was just out there going, hey, I don't know. It's still time on the clock, y'all. Let's play tag. Yeah, so I would nominate those two. And then did I forget anyone on the QB side? I don't think this year we have anybody who's particularly notable outside of our beloved Cole McDonald, because there's nobody. Jorge Reyna for Fresno State. This is pulling from our group of five teams, but Jorge Reyna, man, go watch him. He's just fun. He throws a pick and he's like, yeah, there's more coming. It's all good. I got plenty more where that came from, man. They just keep making these. It's crazy. But he's also really good.
I would like to thank, I don't think it's quite fitting of this award, but Bo Nix opening and closing the season with just like season ruiners for two big name teams is pretty fucking great. It's pretty great.
But Bo Nix, I know I'm getting senile. I have called him his father all season long. I cannot type Bo Nix. I just type Patrick Nix every single time. So thank you for making me fear the Reaper's scythe on the back of my neck. Just feeling it. It's cold.
All right. Refreshing. So who's your winner? Who's the winner?
The winner I'm going to go ahead and say this, that sometimes the BVP celebrates character over skill and talent. And then sometimes it salutes the person who has all of those things and is in a situation so extreme, so desperate, and yet lives up to all of that.
This is the, like, you survived in the woods for how long?
It's interesting you mentioned the woods. Because this is a state with a lot of them. They're very dark and they're very terrifying. And some people might not make it out of them. Some people might see the adversities of a Kentucky football season as the inescapable. And Lynn Bowden, whatever position he plays, dang it, Lynn Bowden is this year's BVP award. Because if we told Lynn Bowden right now that he was going to have to play safety in addition to all of this in the bowl game, not a single moment of hesitation, right? None.
No, you're right.
No, I Lynn Bowden for being the most BVP award winner, in addition to being an outstanding player on a team that will not get enough shine for what they have done this year with absolutely no quarterback whatsoever, with a relatively hopeless situation offensively. Yeah, and still beat rival Louisville. Beat the pants off of
him. He threw two passes in that game.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm.
How many points did they win by?
Like 32.
They won by 32 points, and they completed two passes.
Oh, no. They attempted two. They completed one.
Perfect. Even better.
And got him, like, honestly, without Lynn Bowden, like, this is a 7-5 team. Without Lynn Bowden, I mean,
they don't make a bowl. Because if you look at their record by the time he became, like, the starter, they're sitting on 2-3, still facing the teeth of the schedule. And they got wins against Mizzou, Louisville, as you mentioned, tuned up Vanderbilt. Like, and those were games that weren't necessarily like, oh, yeah, they're definitely going to win those. So,
yeah. No, just please remember, get your perspective right when you think about those things. Oh, they just beat Vandy. Yeah, they're Kentucky.
Yeah. Yeah, they're still Kentucky. Maybe y'all got spoiled by a Citrus Bowl trip, but this is still Kentucky. Yeah. If you can power Kentucky to a mid-tier SEC bowl, you have done a good job.
A real live sorcerer. Lynn Bowden, you are the 2019 Bradley Van Pelt Award winner. Congratulations. There's no trophy. There's no prize. There are no plaudits. Only the knowledge that you are indeed a most college football player. I'm happy about that decision, by the way. I don't feel like I had to be like a dick and go, well, these are nice, but I'm going to pick somebody else. No, that's the right call, y'all. The people, as always, are correct.
I love that because like, we did not rig it so that Spencer's choice would be number one in the voting, obviously. But if it came down to it, it could have been a French Revolution type situation where it's like, the people have risen. Oh, no. You know,
like
they've
like
only
a lot
kind
of
risen.
Like a lot of revolutions, the people have chosen the thing that I have chosen.
How wise of them.
And you can hear them united behind me in the distance.
Far, far below me. also wanted to I think Lynn Bowden's a great choice.
By the way, is there anything more like people's choice and people's college football award than Lynn Bowden being the only means of production for the Kentucky football team?
Not really.
He was them, and he seized the opportunity and himself.
He's kind of a monopoly, though.
You know, comme si, comme ça. Say it the way you will.
Also wanted to hand out a couple others. These are newer categories for the BVP as its awards suite expands. There are now three college football awards, in fact. Can I run through a top 10 from the public balloting of coaches who best fit the BVP ethos?
Go for it. Well, in the interest of time, we'll let you do your run through and then we'll break it down.
Yeah.
So tied at the bottom are Nick Rolovich, Matt Rhule, and Mike Leach. A bizarre group. Up next, Lovey Smith, climbing higher, Herm Edwards.
Did we do this before the Northwestern game?
No, this was done days ago.
Okay. All right. Go ahead. Sorry.
At number five, friend of the program, Charlotte Show attendee Will Healy, who also hosts dance parties after every Charlotte win. Number four, I imagine his stock soared in the past week or so, Gus Malzahn. Number three, hardly a surprise here, PJ Fleck. Number two, Hugh Freeze, with many comments noting that he was boosted by some, at some points literally, by various vehicles and apparatuses throughout Liberty's football stadium. And number one, Coach Ed Ogeron.
This is tricky.
I'm gonna take O out because that's this LSU. They're pretty much, I think, going to be the best LSU Tigers team full time. It's like way too obvious and not quite as singular as I think. I mean, it's singular in the like Excelsior tier college football performance sense, but I don't think it's singular in a BVP award sense.
There is one name I'm surprised, unless I missed it, is not on this list, and that's Mack Brown.
He got a few mentions. He would have been in the very next tier, I think. Okay. He was tied with Tom Herman, if I recall.
Because, like, and you know, I don't want to belabor it, but UNC had one of, I think, the most interesting football years. They opened the year beating South Carolina. They beat Miami. They lost to App State. They were the only team, really, to give Clemson anything resembling a challenge so far.
They lost the first ever overtime 2-point shootout.
Yep. They clobbered NC State at the end of the year, where the winner was going to a bowl and the loser was not. They had like a surprisingly, as 6-6 seasons go, this is one that has a lot to it.
I think to me, the thing with Mac is, if we're talking about college footballness and 2019-ness, it was an interesting season, but I think him in particular, I think we needed to see some more quips, some quotes.
Sure.
Maybe his pants fall down. Maybe we see Mac Brown's butt. But yeah. Clearly that would have boosted him a little bit.
Okay, that's fair. All
right. After all, he should have gotten on the wave because it's the year of the exposed cheeks.
Yeah. PJ Fleck is obviously an interesting choice here. The custom fashion, Minnesota's season. I feel like he didn't say that much crazy shit, though.
No, he kept it pretty low profile. You can see him kind of maybe toning down the crazy a little bit so that he can get the next gig, right?
Right.
Yeah. I think there's a little bit of that going on.
Okay.
Right? So I think that's that. Which leaves us with who, Jason? Let's review that again. If we're taking out Brown and Fleck and Leach, take Leach off there too.
So your top three at that point would be Freeze, Malzahn, and our good friend Will Healy.
Wow.
And Rolovich.
Followed by Herman, Lovey, and Rolovich, Rule.
Yeah. I'm gonna go ahead and do this. They're 9-4. He's an alum. They've had to do a lot of stuff just to get noticed, and they play at midnight. I'm gonna go ahead and throw my hat in for Nick Rolovich here.
Okay. It's really hard not to pick Lovey. It really is hard. It really is hard.
I mean, he's coaching in hell and he's thrilled to do it.
I mean, he has a giant beard. The thing that makes it so special is the end. They have a bowl game, whatever. But the fact that Illinois goes on this like very impressive tear where they show like the program is turning around, they have the big win against Wisconsin. Things are going in the right direction. And then that Northwestern game is just like, just in case you were feeling too good, just in case you were too on board, here is the biggest turd we can drop. A 19-point loss to a very bad Northwestern team. The only conference win for Northwestern this year.
Also, the committee did note Illinois is a quality loss for Wisconsin.
Okay, that seals it. It's Lovey. It's Lovey. That's it.
I think Illinois should hang a fucking plaque for that.
Hang it.
To me, Ogeron, LSU is awesome, but could this man exist in any other sport, at any other level of football, in any other line of work?
I mean, that is an argument in his favor. I'll give you that. But he's also at the helm of a Ferrari, which to me is, He's driving the good boat, man. He's driving that big airboat.
That's a big ass boat.
Is there any reason we can't share the award? Can we give it to O and Lovey?
We can do whatever we want.
So I'm not the final say on this.
Spencer is, yeah, I agree.
Hugh Freeze. This is the most college football man alive. This man embodies everything shitty, scumbaggy, awful, fake about our sport. It does not matter whether he's doing it on purpose or not. Every single thing he does is the funniest thing in the world. He provided us the absolute most memorable image of the entire season by being a bullshitter. Like, I honestly don't see how it could be anybody but Hugh Freeze.
He searches his mentions on Twitter too, which
you know, so this is my one argument against.
He's trying to change jobs right now.
He's gonna listen to this and thank us for it, and we'll feel weird.
No, we won't. That's hilarious. That's what I'm saying.
Thank you for
everything
the,
he does is funny.
Thank you for the Bradley Sansa Belt Award. The other, I had one more nomination. The resume is very short, but it's how's this? The resume is very narrow, but that narrow plot of land has a skyscraper on it. And that point of data that I'm going to give you,
Nunzio,
may turn the whole tide here. He went 5-7 in his first year at Colorado, but at one point, Colorado's Mel Tucker coached in shorts.
In Colorado.
Yeah, this may make him the leader for next year's award.
He's definitely on the watch list for sure.
He's on the watch list for next year based on coaching in shorts alone.
Shorts, yeah.
Based on we're watching those calves.
They were popping, man. Absolutely popping.
Okay, here's where I stand. Ultimately, it's up to Spencer. I think we should either split it between O and Lovey or give it to Hugh Freeze. I cannot in good conscience suggest that we pair Hugh Freeze with someone and create a weird orgy situation.
I don't like the trend that giving Hugh Freeze the inaugural BVP coaching award could
That's fair.
Because like by year five, it'll be like, yeah, that's the guy who was selling players' organs for money. That's more college football than that. Also, that will be Hugh Freeze. So,
but he was very sorry. He said he was very sorry.
The Lord told me to make fishes and loaves, so I sold a kidney. I'm going to give it to, you know what? I feel good about this. I felt great about Lynn Bowden. And I think the warmth in the heart is the thing that I have to use as the indicator that this is the correct choice. And when I say his name as the winner, it will make me feel said warmth. I think the Moses of Champagne, with his prophetic beard, I think Lovie Smith getting the Illini to a bowl game. You, sir, even with your NFL bones, you get the inaugural BVP Coach of the Year Award.
Great. I love it.
He overcame being an NFL coach. That is impressive.
And being like, in Illinois, like the minute you cross that state line, you're 80% less powerful.
We are hesitant to associate this award with players who are too good at the NFL, right? Mm-hmm. Who might go to the NFL. Lovey has already been there. He's already won a conference in the NFL.
That's right.
And he overcame that. That's impressive.
He did it with Rex Grossman, goddammit.
Another extremely BVP guy.
Another super BVP. Goddamn, let's give him like three retroactive BVP awards. Rex Grossman, every year he was at Florida, BVP award winner. Can I also give you this? Lovey, strong accent came. He's got that like muscle shoals lilt. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. So he gets like an extra couple of, like, I give accent, you know, PowerPoints anyway. Great accent, Lovey. Like just icing on the cake of a fantastic BVP resume.
I like it. So you got the visuals with the beard. You got the audio with the accent. You got the accomplishments. Makes everyone feel good. It's a good choice.
Where do you have Illinois going to a bowl game, Jason?
They're pretty much locked into, it'll depend on Wisconsin, but it'll be either the Quick Lane or the Red Box. Sorry to bring everyone down.
Hey, bowl game. That's what you need to know.
Focus on the bowl part.
Also, Lovey was tied into one of my favorite. One more thing. Lovey was tied into one of my favorite moments of the year, which was the play-by or the color guy for Illinois when they upset with Michigan State, correct? When they upset Michigan State, the color guy just for a solid 30 seconds said, "Let's go!" Over and over and over again. Oh, beauty. Okay, I'm sorry.
No, that was merited. We needed one more "let's go" for this season. Game of the year, obviously a ton of nominations. I narrowed it down to a top 8. These will go in reverse order of most frequently selected. The first one, FIU Miami.
Oh, wow.
Very beloved by our listeners.
Here's the thing. None of us actually watched this game. We just realized it happened after the fact.
No. Watched it.
I think really? We all saw the last like 3 minutes.
Yeah. Right? Okay. Yeah, All right.
Don't judge me.
Don't tell me what trash I will and won't eat.
Actually, I watch every FIU game. What are you talking about? I mean, I watch every football game at Marlins Park. Thank you.
I don't want you to know that, but it's there.
Number 7, South Carolina, Georgia. A game that, as we speak, has Georgia not already clinching a playoff spot. If not for this game, the SEC title game would be all just about seeding, and that's it. As it is, Georgia might miss the playoff because of South Carolina.
God.
Next, LSU Alabama made the top 6. That's pretty good. It's been a while.
Heat.
Number 5 has been up here a long time. Arizona Hawaii. We discussed this a bit during the Cole McDonald section. Number 4, SMU Memphis.
Yeah.
Primetime. One of the best primetimers of the year. Number 3, truly an all-time game. Alex did a really good post about this one. UCLA Washington State, arguably the greatest comeback in football history. Number 2, for a billion obvious reasons, the Egg Bowl. And number 1, for a billion obvious reasons, the Iron Bowl.
It's difficult. It's very, very difficult. Because the temptation for me is to give it to an Arizona-Hawaii game that took place
but
in what, week one?
It's not. I mean, I think that if I'm correct here, the thing we're trying to circle here is what is the game that you will remember it 6 months, a year from now, right? And be like, oh, that game was fire, right?
Yeah.
And perhaps. It's not – I don't think it's that Arizona-Hawaii game, in part because, like, boy, Arizona just ended up being sad.
Yeah. Yeah, they ended up being kind of sad. I would
like,
also.
I bet if we went back and rewatched this game, we'd be like, "Wow, Hawaii's lucky that they really let Arizona hang in too long to this game."
Yeah, so we can't do that one. And I feel like doing the Iron Bowl is, you know, I have a strong case for the Iron Bowl and a strong case against it. My case against is weaker. The case against is that this is a classic rivalry and that this is typically like. A lot of things that happen in this game are hallmarks of said rivalry, and everyone knew that these two teams are going to be pretty good, as opposed to something like the Egg Bowl, which is a rock fight between two starving chickens, right? Like that's...
Who hate these rocks!
Hate these rocks so much, and that was decided on, of all things, spite. That's what decided this game. Was...
I think I would also say I would vote against the Iron Bowl because it is... I think it sucks that to get there, you have to say, oh, right, but Tua suffered this horrific injury.
Yeah. Hmm.
And that's what made it, at least in theory, that's what made it possible.
Yeah. So I would go ahead, if I'm leaning, I'm going to lean Egg Bowl.
Wow. It's very hard for me to walk away from LSU Bama. It really is, because it had like... It had so much from start to finish. It was just chock full of good shit, including LSU doing their best to make it interesting at the end by allowing that huge.
I'm glad you said that because I thought the same thing about, okay, well, how college is this game, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Cause these are, you know, skilled players at elite schools and they're not going to make huge, interesting mistakes. Okay. How about
Tua fumbled for no reason?
LSU had a 46-34 lead with under 2 minutes left and then gave up an 85-yard touchdown pass to Devontae Smith with a minute 21 left. Yeah.
I am biased towards LSU Bama because in so many respects it was setting up for the exact storyline of this will be the worst LSU loss you can remember as an LSU fan. This will be the one that hurts the most, that feels the most painful. And it didn't go that way.
I think for me, the Egg Bowl, like that's my favorite moment of the year.
Yeah.
But I think as a game, as someone who watched the whole thing, it was fun for that one moment. Everything else was bad, which is the point of the Egg Bowl, to be clear. That's what you want out of an Egg Bowl. But
it's basically like, yeah, I ate everything on the buffet. It all sucked, and I feel kind of nauseated.
Right.
And then I went over to the ice cream machine, and I hit the lever, and all of a sudden, blood started pouring out of it.
Egg Bowl is the, like, if you can eat this 8-pound burger, you get your photo on the wall. And the last, the peeing penalty, that was the photo. That's like, yes. Here you are, you did it. Ignore the 8 pounds of ground beef sitting in your stomach.
The Egg Bowl is the Lions Thanksgiving game, if anyone cared about it. UCLA Wazoo, man, that must be considered. Like, that is, it's one of the most unique games ever. Like, it's fine if it doesn't win, but it must be considered. To me, the Iron Bowl, Ryan, you raise a good point that we don't, you know, Tua's injury, that certainly factored into things here. To me, the way Auburn won this game, you could put anyone at quarterback for Alabama, and Auburn was going to win this game. And like, Mac Jones played pretty well. You know, one of the pick sixes was really, I don't know how you could argue it was entirely his fault. So like, if Tua had played, could Auburn have won? I mean, based on what happened in the game, put anyone at quarterback.
I mean, Wazoo, UCLA, like, consider this. Anthony Gordon threw 9 TDs and lost.
It's pretty good.
I will also say Memphis SMU might have been one of the most fun games of the year.
Yes. Also, particularly because it came in that lull in the season, that natural lull. And because due to Big Nude Saturday, the schedule kind of, to some extent in some weeks, abandoned primetime.
Right.
And it was like, you know what? Let's give primetime to two teams who never get primetime and let them put on a show. And they did.
And that was game day went to Memphis for that game, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they had wrestlers there.
Yeah, so like the fact that game day showed up and Memphis SMU showed out like that, that's impressive.
I mean, that is impressive. I have one other point in favor.
I mean, ultimately, you're going to get to make the decisions, so...
Yeah, and I like to go ahead and just lay out all of the.
Remember, he's pretending to bring us into the process.
Yeah, that's
right.
as a benevolent
as all good leaders do.
As a benevolent dictator,
let a thousand flowers bloom, my friends. What harm could come of any of that? I have one other piece of evidence in favor of UCLA Wazoo. I believe it kicked at 10:30 Eastern time.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So with that, I really appreciate all the input from the People's Congress. I appreciate that the proletariat have made their views known through me. They're impartial, like loudspeaker. I'm going to go
ahead. They're hairy oracle.
That's right. I didn't ask for these powers. I was just granted them. So those are all very nice ideas you have about LSU and about all the big marquee games. Yeah. And I'm very happy for SMU Memphis. But a 67-63 matchup that didn't really conclude until well past 3 in the morning, that featured a quarterback who threw 9 touchdowns and lost, and featured an end game, which was as chaotic and screwed up and as entertaining as one can possibly imagine, a game where the final like drive chart, if you're looking at it, goes like this: touchdown, touchdown, punt return, touchdown, touchdown, over on downs, fumble, touchdown, fumble, end of game. Yeah, I'm gonna give it to UCLA Wazoo, okay, especially right, because neither team's really playing for anything now. Da 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 da.
Yeah, this is definitely the one that taught us the least about anything involving the two teams. It's an like important, oh, is this a sign of good things to come for UCLA? No. Not at all.
Chip's finally got an offense. Finally got a quarterback. Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, because what happened the week after that epic win? They lost 2017 to Arizona.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Let me also run through real quick, lightning round, a few others in the general grab bag that I think we can all give you some sort of token certificate. Houston for redshirting itself. That's pretty cool. Yeah. That's weird. Yeah. That's very strange.
I like that because Houston's like, hey, don't pay attention now, but some weird shit's going to happen in 6 months.
football's stressful. Take a break.
Dan Dierdorf, of course. Whoever put this in the sheet said, for most college football announcer. Sure, agree.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Richt on the ACC Network. Incredible debut season for our beloved youth pastor.
Made a sandwich on television. I'm sorry, didn't make it. Showed you how to eat a sandwich efficiently on television.
Had a heart attack and showed up to work the next day.
That's right.
Cramming cheese doodles the entire time. the ACC Coastal for completing the long play. We swore all along that getting to 4-4 in one season was the thing. No, this was a 7-year plot.
Yeah.
They got seven different teams to win the division, and none of them have won the conference yet. This is incredible. Ralphie the Fifth for saying, I'm done. That's it. I'm out. The Sooner Schooner for saying the same.
Oh my God. Imagine the Sooner Schooner pulled by two Ralphies. Jesus Christ.
It would go into orbit.
That would be like the Civ weapon that they're like, now we had to take this out of the game. It's too powerful.
The giant death bison.
Screw you, Skyrim.
Lots and lots of people put on for various Big Ten things, such as Rutgers' coaching search, Northwestern's passing offense, and a lot of people mentioned this. Maryland scoring 142 points in the first two games, and then about that much for the entire rest of the season.
Just Maryland and Houston over there going, I think we've proved what we came here to prove.
I believe we've made ourselves clear. Colorado with the greatest flea flicker of all time. Alex did a good post on this as well. And finally, the last three ones, somewhat friends of the program. Hashtag nine Windiana, still underway due to our friends at home field. Charlotte's bowl eligibility, as mentioned. And the NAIA Friends Falcons, which many people associate with Banner Society's Slack on Saturdays, one of the funnest things we do. Lots and lots of you shouted this out for a BVP certificate. And thank you. Please keep joining us. We will continue to pay attention to our NAIA Falcons as their season is long done because they're not very good. But they are our friends and your friends and you are our friends.
I don't think I realized exactly how long it had been since Indiana won 9 games. Do either of you know?
I do. I think I have a guess.
Okay.
Is it 1993?
Okay, that's your guess. Jason, you can throw one in if you want.
If it's not that, it's way older.
No, if it's not that, I think they won 9 games in 87.
So in 93, they finished 8-4.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that included a bowl game loss, so there was no way they were going to get to 8 either way. In 87 and 88, they both won 8 games. The last time Indiana won 9 games, and this included a bowl game loss, so these are all regular season wins, 1967, where they finished the year 4th in the AP poll.
This is proof, by the way, that Indiana is only successful when it benefits America in a time of universal harmony.
So this Indiana team went to the Rose Bowl and lost to USC 14-3. The MVP of that game, Orenthal James Simpson.
Definitely not a BVP award winner.